We've got three title matches, 14 people wrestling, and 30 years of Chris Jericho. I hope you save some room for Bubbly because it's the AEW Dynamite After Show Elite of the Week.
Elite of the Week.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Jack Farmer. I'm coming to you live from the Elite of the Week studios, and have we got a show for you. But before we get started with all of the dust-ups and fisticuffs, before we talk about the special announcements, the new champions, and 3 decades of Jericho, I want to start by talking about what this episode was really about. Was it about Jericho? Sure. But more than just him, it was about his history. And not just his history, but wrestling history in general. Today, AEW Dynamite was telling us that history matters, and it matters a lot. The names and faces of some of the people that appear to congratulate Jericho weren't just random names, but legends from his distant past, his rock and roll past, as well as his recent past in Japan. They also made sure to explain the history of things like the FTW title, it being a renegade title that was sanctioned by no one but defended across multiple companies. They made sure to also let us know that the match between the Murder Hawk and John Moxley had happened before, but in another country and in another company as well. They even had, during the dog collar match, not just telling us how long ago the last one happened, but having the legend who did it there himself, Greg the Hammer Valentine. AEW doesn't just make history, it preserves it. Now, before I go any further, allow me to introduce, as always, my co-host, the man that doesn't need a healing factor to survive all of the verbal beatings he takes week in and week out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Flobo Boys. Flobo, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. So good, I said, you know what? I need to be more fancy, and I actually wore a shirt with buttons for a change. How you doing, Jack?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad that all of us here tonight decided to skip the debates and skip finding ways to better our country and vote for leadership.
I forgot.
And instead, watch pro wrestling. Now we're going to watch us. Thanks also for dealing with a little technical issue I had at the very beginning there. I didn't...
It's live TV,
the best there is. Overall thoughts on the show, man. How do you feel?
Yeah, I was kind of despondent for just a second because I was under the impression that it was also going to be the 1 year anniversary of Dynamite, which I'll know you talk about in just a second. But you know what? Jericho is somebody who needs his own show of people that come forward and said, hey, look, man, you did what you did. You introduced a whole different hybrid style of wrestling for a whole new generation of people, not once, but twice. Now, I know they couldn't use some of the footage because a lot of that 30-year career is locked up in a vault somewhere up north. But having so many people come from all over saying, hey, man, I appreciate what you do, and you're a rock star, and I read your book or two, pretty nice.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I think it was kind of a smart move by AEW to separate the two anniversaries. I get why they did it. This was the actual one-year anniversary, though. This was the one that should have been celebrated, but I'll let it pass. It's 2020. There's bigger things in the world to worry about than what day something's celebrated on. Plus, it gives us a chance to have two different celebrations. And if you know anything about me, Flobo, it's that I love celebrating. Speaking of celebrating, let's just talk about it. Let's talk about the big celebration. It happened at the end of the night. It was the Chaos Project against the Inner Circle. Now, if you watch Dark, you know who the Chaos Project is. You've got Serpentico, you've got Luther, and now you've got on the other side Jericho, and you've got Jake Hager. This match wasn't a match that meant to mean anything to the viewing audience, I don't believe. This was for Jericho. This was for him in his 30 years to have that throwback match with someone who's traveled the roads with up and down the highways and byways, as they say. But your take, just how did you feel watching this match? Did you feel like it felt special because it meant so much? Or were you like, this shouldn't happen?
You know what? The match itself was pretty good. I mean, the Chaos Project has been one of the cool inadvertent diamond in the rough things with AEW. Like, I'm a big mark and fan of Broken Toys in a certain way. Not saying Sarah Princico or Luther is, but they really weren't quite clicking, especially in Luther's case at AEW a year's time. So them being together was kind of fun. I don't quite like Hager. I don't think he's found a place individually, but him tagging with Jericho was fun. So I think everything together was a perfect exhibition to show Jericho how good he is. I bet if it was for any kind of stakes, it would be kind of like muted or muddled. But an exhibition match featuring Le Champion or the million viewer man, follow me.
Yeah, I thought it was a good chance to get Serpentico on TV in a main event, no less. I've said before, I think he's so cool. I love his little Spider-Man shooting out the webs thing from the hands. I bet he doesn't call them spider webs, but I do. I think it works.
The snake with spider webs. Love it.
The snake with spider webs. That's terrifying now that I think about it. Imagine getting stuck in a snake's web. The big thing that happened here, though, was at the end of the match, they're celebrating, and Jericho's about to give a heartfelt thank you, but then MJF comes out, and in the way that only he can, he's doing that backhanded, I'm here for you, but I'm also being kind of a jerk. This is about you. Hey, I got you a clown that's making fun of everything you've done. Oh, I gave you a picture of myself. I said this on Twitter, this is the most entertaining, tense moment I've seen in wrestling for a while. Are you enjoying this this little budding rivalry between the two jerks?
MJF's display today was the most Jericho thing I've seen in a while. Coming out and being like, it's all about me. I'm here to help you out. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago on this show, you know, about like, is it going to be a tag team? Is it going to be a leadership struggle? Is it going to be the inner circle? And I love it because what happened tonight feeds into each and every single possibility. It didn't go in one way or definite. We don't know if it's going to be a giant dust-up and or a fisticuff. We don't know if it's a long play for MJF to get...
Could be a shenanigan.
Could even be shenanigan or malarkey. We have no idea. So, as a story standpoint, I really, really enjoyed it. And as far as the clown stuff, we talked about this before. I'm like, man, poor Wardlow almost ruined the moment on that clown reveal.
Oh my God. I bet his heart just crunched at that moment. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Wardlow, I think, got a miscue and almost pulled the blanket off before MJF did his countdown. And just anyone who's done any type of live performance, that kind of stuff happens. But it's definitely a thing you think about over and over and over again as you're driving home that day. And poor Wardlow, I'm sure he's just going to be like, oh, man. I ruined it. It was just 30 years.
Almost pooped the bed.
But it turned out Bubba's chaps. You won't get your chaps dirty when you poop the bed.
We have our own bits. I love it.
That's terrible.
We have our own running joke.
Where do I go? The big thing here, I love when wrestlers make announcements that they're going to announce an announcement. It's like when you get the little trailer for a movie that's teasing the trailer release. Yeah. Is always an interesting thing. Next week, MJF has an announcement coming out, and he wants Chris Jericho to be there. My mind is going absolutely nutty on what this announcement could be. He could be entering a tournament. He could be starting a band of his own. He could be joining the inner circle. He could be doing all sorts of things. And he wants Jericho there. This, to me, is perfect storytelling because we know these two aren't going to get along. We know something's going to happen that's going to make these two hate each other. But what's it going to be? Is it going to be now? Is it going to be later? AEW is clearly okay with letting storylines drag out for a year if they have to. What do you think this announcement's going to be?
I love the trailer for the trailer for the trailer. It's the promise ring of pro wrestling. No, I don't know, man. I was thinking about that earlier. What could it possibly be? What I want to see is some kind of thing that's underhanded but positive would be if MJF were nominating Jericho to be in that tournament. If he did that, they'd be kind of like, I'm your friend. I gave you an opportunity. But Jericho's like, wait, hold on. I didn't ask for this. That's the only thing I could possibly see. But who knows, man? Up in the air.
Oh, my God. Flobo. Flobo, you nailed it. I think that's it. No, we'll talk about it a little bit. Wardlow is in that tournament, and it would not shock me if he's like, oh, oopsie daisy, it looks like you're going against Wardlow in the first round. And that is MJF's way of taking out Chris Jericho. Flobo, boy, spoiler alert, you need to start saying these things before Oh my God, that blew my mind. I thought it was just going to be like him going, oh, I want to take over the inner circle. Give it, give me, give me, give me. And that was going to be it. But I think that's so devious. It also might be because there's two spots left in the tournament. It might be that both of them are going into the tournament because there are two spots left. Who knows? But I like what you're talking about. I like the idea of them going in. And you know what? It's not next on my sheet. It's not next on my rundown, but it flows too easy. It's time for a segue. It's the tournament. Let's talk about the tournament. We got Hangman. We got Wardlow. And we have Colt Cabana all thrown in there. Possibly Jericho and MJF. I think they deserve to be in that title tournament as well. Adding to the group of Omega, Phoenix, and Jungle Boy. Now, we talked last week. Omega, Hangman seems like the two favorites. We kind of expected them to be in there. But seeing, I know you're a fan of Wardlow, seeing that name added in there, did that do anything for you? Does that change anything up? Maybe add any excitement?
Does it make my skin tingle? It kind of does, because he may be a bit of a Cinderella run. I don't think he's going to win the tournament. That'd be kind of out of nowhere. But what if he did? I was talking about this before. It's draft week on the other promotion, and Jack had asked me if I could, if I was the Phantom General Manager up north, who would I draft from AEW? And I was like, Wardlow! And Jack was like, upside down question mark? Like, you know? Right. I liked he's strong, he's fast. I mean, it's a good look. I mean, he looks the closest thing we have to an AEW homegrown talent. If he got a title shot, I will be on board. I think that match with Moxley would slap, as the kids say in the streets. But unfortunately, man, I think that MJF is the maybe the clear favorite if he gets in that tournament, if it's not Jericho, or maybe Hangman. Maybe it's Hangman's time finally.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, by the way, real quick, shout out to Vermondo in the chat who mentioned the Saturday Night Live credits at the end of the show. I love that, too. I thought that was fantastic. If you follow Mikey Ruckus, who's a friend of the show, who does the music for AEW, he apparently got a text from Jericho at 10:30 last night to make that music. So he had to put that all together. That's live production, folks. You never sleep. I wanted to add to your point. You say Wardlow could be a Cinderella story. I think it makes sense. You know why? Because if Wardlow gets the title shot against Jon Moxley, what does that make MJF do? Because MJF's not going to be happy about that.
Ooh, yeah, because they've been at that tension they've been having the past couple weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happens there? Does MJF try to take the spot from Wardlow? And or does Wardlow win the title and then MJF's like, bruh. Bruh.
That would be totally the character. Bruh.
Bruh.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, because, I mean, you're right. There's so many nuggets of story that were planted before. I don't see why that Wardlow would be the case. If Wardlow was the number one contender, I can't see MJF being happy for him. You know?
Yeah. Let me ask you. Yeah, I think you unraveled the whole thing. You pulled that little thread that is going to unravel the entire sweater. You've ruined it. You're ruined it. Now they're going to have to run into the
now
writer's room.
Now I'm cold as the Sampas.
No, that's Omega clearly is a little bitter about his buddy being a part of the tournament. Here's just a fun hypothetical for you. This match that will eventually happen between Omega and Hangman, these guys are going to fight it out. They're going to beat each other up. My question to you is, would you pay to see Omega Hangman as is right now, or do you think it would be better to see them in the finals of this tournament? Basically, do they need the finals of the tournament?
No, they don't need the finals of the tournament. Of course, it's like a stipulation thing. We want to see something different from those guys, and it'd be kind of a cool treat if it was, but there's enough story there of having this tag team that broke up, but they're not like, I hate you, Hulk. I hate you, Savage. Kind of having this weird, awkward, we're amicable, but not really thing really bubbling to the surface. If someone gave me the book, as they say, you had these two options, I think putting him in the tournament is great, but you kind of fold two storylines into one. You don't have to do that here. You could have a whole other storyline happen in that tournament and then pull out Hangman Page to maybe be the breakup blow off in between rounds of the tournament or what have you. Yeah, I'll definitely have them separate. It was me.
Yeah, I think you get a little bit more bang for your buck. But the idea that these two are going to have an actual match for a shot at the world title would make quite a juicy matchup indeed. As of now, who's your pick to win? I think last week we said Omega with a bullet as the first three were announced. Now that we've got six, assuming we don't know who the other two are, do you still feel Omega's the guy?
Omega should be the guy, but there's something about Hangman, man. He's been, no pun intended, hanging around, bro. You know what I'm saying? Just on commentary one week, chilling backstage another, having press releases on his on Twitter account. There's something really fishy there, so Hangman's my pick.
He's plucky. I feel like he's hard to get rid of. Now, before we go any further, I do want to take a quick second. I mentioned the chat. I want to shout out everyone. Vermondo, thank you so much for joining us. Haywood, we also had Charlene in the chat. Everyone who's watching along, everyone's chatting along, thank you so much for being here. It's always appreciated. If you guys could do a favor, hit the like, comment, subscribe button, share with your friends. We're also on Twitch now. So if you're a Twitcher, send it to your Twitch friends. They'll Twitch around too. We also have got, I'm so uncool and disconnected with technology.
Twitching around.
And we also are now on Spotify and everywhere you get your iPods, your podcasts. Do they even make iPods anymore?
You are so showing your age. Twitching around an iPodcast.
Your iPodcast. It's not up on Apple yet. It's still TBD. Apple takes forever. You know this. They're
making a mistake.
You know how much Apple, you know how much you're missing out by not having this on your program. So speaking of not missing out, we're not going to miss out on Lance Archer versus Jon Moxley, apparently. There was a fear that we might not get that match because of Lance Archer being around someone that had tested positive for COVID. I don't think they said he tested positive. They just said he was near someone.
Yeah.
Which may be why they're pushing the anniversary date back to kind of fudge the numbers and give him an extra week, I wonder. But he cut a promo. Both him and Moxie had pre-taped promos this week. I thought Archer's was pretty good. I love that he was talking about Japan and their matches there. Jon Moxie, I thought, I know Hangman's the guy, but he had kind of a cowboy-esque style promo himself. And I loved how I loved the line he said where every time I hand the title over to the referee, I know it might be the last time. And he said, you know what? You may be the guy to take it from me, but as you always say, everybody dies. I love that feeling. And I think this may have been one of Jon Moxley's best AEW promos.
Whoa!
As far as the pre-taped ones, I should say. There's some
high praise, man.
Jon Moxley, in the ring, it's a different level with him because he's got that live energy. But from pre-taped, I think this is one of his best. How did you feel about them selling this match next week?
It's a fantastic promo, definitely top tier. I'm not disagreeing with you, Jack, when you say it's one of his best pre-tape promos. It's just kind of interesting that you put the bullet on this one.
Yeah,
you're right. A little bit of a cowboy thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing because Mox is still the unstable guy. He's still, you can't pin him down. And of course, I would totally imagine him being in a bar, right? Why not? Fighting people is fun. For Lance Archer's case, I know why they went back to Japan. They have to build them up again, but it is kind of weird. Like at my last school, I was really cool. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it did it for me. And I'm rooting for Mox even more after tonight. He won the debate, the one that matters, apparently.
Yeah, right.
but the promo was great.
The one we watched.
The one we watched, yeah.
No.
Watch the president.
Yeah. Get out and vote, everybody. We have... I thought it was great. I think I'm really excited for this match. I feel like if I'm a betting man, I still think Jon Moxley's the guy. I don't know if Archer takes it here. Because Jon Moxley's been on a roll. And I think he just won the PWI 500 Top Wrestler of the Year, which I think just it adds a little bit more sizzle to your steak when you're that guy with the championship. Yeah. So I think he's going to hold on to it for just a wee bit longer. Somebody didn't hold on to the title a wee bit longer today. Brody Lee in a dog collar match. And first and foremost, I've got to say right off the bat, Flobo, I know you're not a dog guy, but what kind of dog needs these kind of collars?
Man, dog, I've been through some stuff. Am I right? Woo! Those are the thickest collars I've ever seen. What's going
Yeah,
on?
like with a big old chain. I've got a pretty big dog. My dog doesn't need that big of a chain.
Yeah, your dog is like, yo, man, chill. I'll just do whatever you want.
Chill, just fine.
No, it was a good match, man. I was excited about it. It was really awesome. I wish there were even like bigger collars, I guess, if there's ever a blow-off match.
Next week we're going bigger collars, longer chain. I loved Cody's tights. I loved his look. I'm a big nerd about who has the best look, and I thought Cody looked really good today. There was a line though on commentary that I got to run by you and get your thoughts. I believe it was JR said Cody put on 14 pounds for this match, and I'm telling you right now, Flobo, next time I gain weight, I'm just going to say, look, man, I put on 14 pounds for this.
Oh, yeah?
And just
you
act
got
like
t- you got title match coming up?
Act like it was intentional. Like, yeah. Check, have you been gaining weight? Yep, I gained 14 pounds for this.
Well, who are you challenging then?
Oh, no, I'm not. Just for whatever it is.
Okay,
like,
okay,
yeah. Yeah, you'll be like, hey, Jack, do you want to go on a bike ride? Yep, I gained 14 pounds for this bike ride.
Put it on, yeah. Protein shakes, you know?
Brody Lee almost took Arn Anderson's head clean off with that chair. I don't know if you saw that part, but
yeah.
Like he missiled a chair at Arn Anderson's head, and Arn Anderson looked like he barely dodged it. He looked like he was going to really attack Brody Lee. I thought, all things considered, this was a great match. I thought it was everything you're looking for. It was violent. It was bloody. I don't think I would ever be in a dog collar match, not just because I would never be in a wrestling match in general, but I'd be terrified the whole time. I hurt my neck of landing on the chains the whole time, the everything about it. I just liked it. I mean, I don't know. It's weird because this was such a big match, but the match itself, I don't know if there's much more to add to it other than just it was great. It's brutal.
I have a question for you there, Jack Farmer. So, yeah, I was scrolling the AEW Dynamite fan base. I don't know what the term is. People? Twitter? Twitters?
Yeah. The elitist?
Yeah, I was at the elitist, not the universe. And basically, it was saying a sentiment I noticed when we get a good, solid match on TV. This should be on pay-per-view. That question I ask you, man, is why do we do that? Why do we have a match that's so great? And we go, you know what? They should bloody themselves up and have me pay for it. I mean, come on.
I've never understood that. I do not understand why people want things to be on pay-per-view. I get why the company does. I get why Tony Khan does. I get why AEW does. But me as a consumer, I don't want to pay for this stuff. Give it to me for free. Give it to me all for free. Put full gear on TNT. I don't care. I want to see it all for free. Why do people want to pay money for this stuff? Like, I mean, I want to, and that it's good. Like, I will pay for full gear, but
yeah,
don't get me wrong. Like,
yes.
If you're going to pay, if you're going to give it to me for free, hell yeah, do that every week.
That's what I'm saying. And so if this free match here, right? You got like blood everywhere. We have like slams on chains. One time I fell down, I fell over my chair and I landed on my keys and I was in pain for an hour or two. Imagine getting body slammed on chains, dude, like for free. Dude, why not?
Dude, don't even downplay falling on your keys because that is serious. Tell me you don't go, I was impaled.
How did I fall off a ladder? My keys.
I did feel like Cody put Brody through the table on his head during the commercial break. And for that, I felt a little bit like, guys, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. I'm busy watching this Domino's commercial where they're telling me how they deliver pizza in a new way. And you do that cool move? How am I supposed to know how Domino's is going to deliver pizza differently during the COVID era if I'm busy watching you do this?
There's no way to find out. No way.
It's completely irresponsible.
Who do you blame for that? Domino's or Tony Khan?
I blame the referee. So this match ends with two crossroads, which I thought was really poignant because both of these characters now are at a crossroads themselves in different ways. Do you like that one?
I do.
I'm proud of that one. So we got Brody Lee. Now, I feel like this match hurt him a lot. Like not having that title, he had that bit. I feel like the growth of the Dark Order was kind of hanging on the fact that Brody Lee was so dominant against Cody Rhodes. Now that Cody Rhodes just beat him, I don't know what they do now, other than, I guess, try to get in the tournament. Like, what does Brody Lee do?
That's a hard one to swallow, man, because the Dark Order has been this slow, fast burn for so long, kind of went to the joke territory for a bit. But when Brody Lee beat Cody Rhodes so quickly, so handedly, and so decisively, we were like, okay, this group is back. And you had the threads with Colt Cabana and Aunt Jay and the whole Nightmare family. Like, and even the last pay-per-view, you had to like recruit mercenaries to take down the Dark Order second and third strings. It was completely overpowered. But it wasn't so much that Brody Lee lost that match. Is that second crossroad looked like he killed him. Like, he was out for a minute. And so I think that will take some rehab. I wish there was something else to go for, like a number one contendership shot. But I think that'd be kind of like refrying the beans a bit. I don't know. I don't know what Brody does for me. I really don't. I'm a loss.
I think it hurts, too, the type of match. And I think I think types of matches matter, because I think when you have a guy, if he had lost to a wrestling move in a wrestling match, you could say, yeah, Cody's the better wrestler. But this was a fight. This is a brutal beat 'em up fight. And that's where Brody Lee is supposed to be the most dangerous. And he got beat in his own game, essentially, especially because he challenged Cody Rhodes to this match. So it sort of doubly puts him back at this point. And I think that makes the rest of the Dark Order sort of doubly back as well, because what else do they have at this point? And
is
so
the end, you think?
I don't know. It felt like it was on kind of its second wind with the TNT title. Without the TNT title, I don't know what they do. You just still have so much talent with Brody Lee, though. You can't just have him hanging on his own. Although he's got to have this, but I think there's so many people in there that I don't. You know, if I'm Stu Grayson, who is just awesome in the ring, I don't know what I'm doing there anymore at this point. But we'll see. AEW is very good at that. Cody, on the other hand, just says, hey, look, I'm not a bad fella. I just want dark hair. Let's go back to defending this title every week. And Orange Cassidy comes out. Now, you and I, we chatted a bit about this, seeming kind of like an interesting matchup. I think on paper, like just as a viewing audience, as a fan watching, I love the idea of seeing these two fight. I like them both. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great match. But from a, I'm a numbers guy. I like to look at the analytics and this with asterisks are part of analytics. It's all together. if Orange Cassidy lost to Brody Lee and then Brody Lee lost to Cody, why would I then have Orange Cassidy face Cody? It feels like he's two rungs down.
Are you asking from like a booking standpoint or asking like from a character standpoint?
I'm asking Flobo. That's what I'm at.
Okay, cool. Well, the character of Orange Cassidy is like, look, man, I still beat Jericho three in a row, right? I still have an opportunity to go up on this ladder. Yeah, I had a bad outing, but I'm still good. I'm going to go at the right time when this guy is hyped up with adrenaline for beating the last guy. Let me go outside and be all convenient and be like, hey, man, y'all giving out title opportunities? Cool. Same with Cody, man. You want to establish yourself as the title for the people. Why not give a title shot to someone who basically carried the company in the late summer? I mean, Orange Cassidy was the talk of AEW town because everyone finally understood that he was a good wrestler, not just a comedy gimmick. So to me, anniversary, it makes a lot of sense. Now, if you want to be strictly to the AEW and their rankings and wins and losses, you can argue that it doesn't make a whole lick of sense. But really? Does wrestling make a whole lick of sense at all, Jack? Does it ever?
Has it ever not? I mean,
RoboCop deserve a title shot. I'm so mad at WCW.
Ever since Kane came to take on Undertaker, wrestling has made complete sense across the board.
May 19th.
It's a high risk match. Like this is a high stakes match, because whoever comes out on the losing end of that match is not going to look good, because you have both of them. This is literally like their next match after a big loss. Right. So both of them have been heated up. Both of them are on the upswing. as a fan, this is exactly what I want to see. The two guys who are both going up and one of them have to knock the other one off. High stakes match. I think this is going to be one of those matches that a lot of people maybe aren't talking about. Well, they'll talk about it because of Orange Cassidy and Cody Rhodes, but the ramifications of this are huge. The fallout of this match is going to be a very big fallout, and it's going to mean a lot for a big player in AEW one way or the other.
Yeah. And that's what the TNT title means in the card and the promotion and all that.
Speaking of big battles, we had a bovine battle to start the show. Will Hobbs and Brian Cage slapping the juicy patties of beef, fighting for the FTW title. Right off the bat, I want to ask you this question. Someone posed this on Twitter, and I love this. I think it was AEW retweeting, at AEW retweeting. I don't know. I could be wrong, though. It could be someone else. But I'm trying to give credit where credit's due. Someone else on Twitter said, maybe the FTW title could be a title for the big fellas, sort of an anti-cruiserweight title. Flobo, my question to you is, would you be down for a beef patty title?
A super heavyweight title? Like, how would you build that differently? Like, how does that work?
just the big fellas.
Okay, you know what? It's cool. Like, a concept. I will never say no. But I could say, how do you... If I am someone who happens to be 285 pounds, why would I go for that title when I can go for that title, which is a lot more prestigious? But I don't know.
Well, that's the same. That's the same thing with any... That's the same with a cruiserweight title. Why would I go for the cruiserweight title when I can go for the world
because
title.
If I'm 5'10", 195 pounds, my options are limited, man. Like,
are you implying that people like Rey Mysterio can't be champions? Are you heightist?
Yeah, I'm totally heightist. See, this is what we're talking about before the show started. It's character first, wrestling move second, storyline third, right? So everyone loves Rey Mysterio character. He can 619 everybody, and given the right storyline, then sure, yeah, cool. But let's be honest, if Arya Daivari came out next week and was like, Roman Reigns, you're like, huh? Why would... You could, but why?
I'd be all on board.
Would you, though?
Yeah, I'd want to see Roman Reigns just punch him.
Tribal no. Chief!
That would be so funny. I'm the Tribal Chief!
Yeah, I think Will Hobbs needs gold. I kind of wish he won the FTW title because that would be a whole other story and give him something to do. But, yeah, it didn't work out in his favor this time.
You know what I loved about – so this match, for me, was match of the night, I think. This was just hard-hitting. I love – my favorite commentary moment of the night, by the way, was – I believe it was JR said, Will Hobbs benches 475 pounds legitimately. And Taz said, yeah, well, Cage benches 476 pounds.
Yeah. One more. The Price is Right rule.
Yes. And I absolutely enjoyed it. So it's – but I thought this was a really good match. I thought this was one of those ones – we always say like it's few and far between, but those matches where the loser still looks good in the end. I feel like Hobbs came off looking like a threat in this.
Oh, yeah, right? We talked about Hobbs' introductory here in AEW. We're like, well, where's he going to go? He's on Dark for a while. He gets signed. We're like, oh, okay, now it's going to happen. There's that six-man tag that was teased a couple weeks ago. Okay, the fact that he's even being in the conversation. This loss wasn't bad. 8 o'clock was when everyone's tuning in anyway. That 8 o'clock show part's the most important. That's when fans decide which show they're going to watch live. So it's a very nice big vote of confidence for Will Hobbs. So, yeah, there's no shame in that loss tonight.
I thought it was so impressive the way Cage was able to lift that guy up, lift Hobbs up, and throw him around that drill claw. He hit Will Hobbs with the drill claw, Flobo. Mm-hmm. That is a move that I feel like I get worried when people who are Rey Mysterio's size are in a move like that. But he drill clawed Will Hobbs. That's insane to me. I like Brian Cage. I love Brian Cage. I was a fan of him in Lucha Underground. I love everything he does. I want to see more of him, though, Flobo. I feel like he's on, and then he disappears for 2 months. And then has a match like this that is kind of just put together. I don't know what's going on with contracts or plans and things like that, so I don't know if there's reasoning for it. But Why aren't I getting more Brian Cage, Flobo?
Man, that's it. You can't have someone that massive in matches if they're losing, right? Because like, oh, he's so big. Okay, so you put all these matches and he's winning them. And like, give him a title. Well, he can't do that right now either. So the only thing you can do is kind of make him a mini attraction just to make sure people know who he is, top of mind, and so he can still keep them dominant if that need be, just in case you want to bring him back into the fold, or as our friend Cedric Welton says, let him cook. You know what I'm saying? it's one of those things that, yeah, if you saw, like, as much as I this is back on the WWE reference, as much as I did not like the character of Ryback, they had, at that company, a string of people they can feed Ryback to for months. AEW doesn't have that. Or you could argue that AEW takes so much care of their characters, they won't do that. So, yeah, I'll keep him as a rare attraction.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. This match ended, though, in a great way. They did something that I love. It's one of my favorite things. It's not the first time they've done this in pro wrestling, but I love it, where Taz gets on the mic and says, hey, you were impressive, Will Hobbs. I want you to join Team Taz, or we're going to beat you up. And before he can answer, Darby Allin shows up and saves the day. Now, the reason I love this is immediately you're thinking Will Hobbs and Darby Allin going against Team Taz. But Will Hobbs didn't answer. Will Hobbs may have been on board with joining Team Taz. If you are a friend of Hobbs right now, are you asking him to, are you telling him, like, dude, join Team Taz? What are you doing? Or are you like, man, Darby Allin's your boy? Got to help him out.
This is straight out of a video game, right? Like, what do? Do you join the evil squad, or are you trying to be the nice blue chipper baby face? Now, I know what I would do. I would sell out. Can I get to work less, catch the same check, and be menacing in the background? But I don't know. AEW needs a hero. I don't know if a pure hero can work in this universe, especially where everyone's so layered and so conflicted and has their own flaws and such. But I would like to see that. I would like to see how would Superman work in this world? If that will be the case. So I hope he stays on his path of good, but if he didn't, can't blame him.
Interesting. You're comparing Will Hobbs to Superman. That is high praise. Do you think Will Hobbs can be the Superman of AEW and be that guy that's just the good goody goody two shoes? I mean, in a positive phrase.
We've all become too cynical, so no one's truly good at t-shirts. Look, the AEW top of the card, you got your Kenny Omegas, your Cody's, he's in the mid-card. But you know what I'm saying? These premier names are associated with the brand. The Young Bucks are the super kicking everybody. There's no way that he can break through that right now, which is okay. It's not his fault. But, and I always say this, the most important slot after the main event is at hour one main event. You get that 9 o'clock hour where that dog collar match was, where it's Will Hobbs taking on Hot Challenger. You can overperform in that advertising part, because for those of you who don't watch wrestling as a TV show, it's the biggest ad break for a wrestling show, so the biggest match goes there to make sure you come back in the second hour. Then you've already made it, man. That says the company trusts you, and you are, relatively speaking, homegrown talent to do it for AEW.
Yeah, I'd call him homegrown at this point. I mean, I feel like if you're a nationally televised company, then if you're the first person to get them on national television, you get to call them homegrown. Obviously, wrestlers, there's independent companies that they work at and hone their craft. They don't just start there. So that's obviously the case. But
and
otherwise,
enough too, because I don't think Eddie Kingston is homegrown. You know he is. It's like he's been around for like 20 years. It's like
right. Yeah, it's true too. Yeah, he's too. he's been around long enough. No one's gonna call him homegrown, I think, except for his hometown, maybe
Yonkers.
Is he Yonkers? Is that the accent?
Yonkers, yeah. Because Yonkers is super. It's like we make fun of that accent because it's super New York. It's more New York than us. Yeah, you know how it is in Yonkers. You know, it's like, why are you talking like that, bro?
Isn't that where Tommy Dreamer's from? He's a Yonkers guy too, right?
Probably. I know he's from. No, he's from Long Island. He's from Long Island, I think. Him and McFarland. Oh. I've looked this up. But yeah. When I hear someone from Yonkers, I'm like, yeah, you want some coffee? You want some coffee
some
over there?
Some coffee.
He's from Yonkers. Yeah, I stand corrected. You're right.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I remember because. Yonkers sounds like a funny place to say you're from. It's just funny. Here in California, we have Rancho Cucamonga. I think that sounds funny too. Certain names, Seattle. Speaking of, of homegrown places. Hybrid 2 had a match today with Jack Evans from Parkland, Washington, which is about as exactly where I grew up as you can get. It's a very small spot. Don't you dare look bored as I talk about the PKD Parkland, Washington.
Are you cutting a promo? I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't want the smoke from Parkland, Washington. I apologize.
The smoke in Parkland, Washington is not easy to breathe, my friend.
Well, yeah, it's probably hypoallergenic. That's probably
So Hybrid 2 have a match with FTR. You were shocked at how long this match went. But I want to say, I think that this is a chance for the Hybrid 2 specifically and Helico to show out a little bit and maybe get some fandom going for him. I know you're a fan of Angelico, yeah?
Yeah, Angelico was my favorite part of Lucha Underground. And for full disclosure, I've seen the first two seasons. I don't know if he comes a lame-o in season 3 or 4. So it's cool to see them. And I like that group. I don't understand what a Hybrid 2 means in this context, but that's okay. But my problem was is that you have the FTR, and they're solid in the champs. You can't knock them. They're the best tag team in the world. The hardware proves it, according to Jack's logic. But I guess the match didn't have the flow I was looking for. It looked like they were spamming the signature moves. And so that's why I was kind of like, they just should have put them away already, because these moves were high impact, one after the other. I was like, they're playing it like how I would play it when I'm like playing 2K on easy mode. I'm just getting the stress out. I'm like, finisher. And so when it happened, I go, okay, that could have been done 3-4 minutes ago. And I start to wonder what was going to be the end game there.
I think with this, because they're doing the whole 20-minute time limit instead of 60-minute time limit, I think they like to tease getting close to that 20-minute limit. And sort of tease that it's using that time. Because if they put them away in 5 minutes, they'd be like, well, what's the point of the 20-minute brush with greatness kind of thing? I think they also want to keep the tag matches, you know, good and close, like feel like they're battles instead of just crushing people and squashing people. Because I think that's probably an FTR thing. I think they just want to make sure that they're doing good matches. And I think Hybrid 2 have room on the roster. I think they're cool. I think they're a group that, if you're a new wrestling fan, you could easily gravitate to. Or if you're someone that likes the cool looking younger people, I don't know how young they are, but they're just, I guess, new in the U.S. audiences. So yeah. I think Jack Evans has been around for a minute at least. I don't know about Angelico though. But yeah, I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a good showing. I hope we see more Hybrid 2 and FTR for sure. Well, we're going to see FTR for sure.
Yeah, I hope so.
I like that they were also like two exact opposites of these teams. Like, these teams couldn't be more different. But of course, Young Bucks super kick a camera. And I was going to say, Young Bucks, they didn't pay for it. I was going to say, did you notice? I like how Young Bucks were like awkwardly standing with the screen. I don't know if you caught this, but like they had like their back to it at first. And like, yeah. I think I have a feeling they were poking a little bit of fun at some other places that have wrestlers backstage looking at screens.
I can't think of that at all. Nope. That's no connection to that whatsoever. You're off your rocker, Jack.
I like my rocker. I'm not coming off of it anytime soon. So, of course, it ends. The best friends come out as comedy backyard wrestlers. They called FTR wieners. And the adolescent in me loved that moment. We're getting them next week. Any thoughts on those two going at it?
Is it okay that we can call FTR wieners? I mean, I know the people were saying at their last employer they weren't treated seriously, but they were literally photoshopped into hot dogs with mustard. Not even the cool like slices of onions on top. I'm just saying, where they worked last with all the itchy powder or all the picture of them in their comedy gear, it was kind of interesting they went with a comedy route here with that particular team.
That's a good point. I think they don't mind being in comedy roles or doing comedy things. I think they just don't want to be the comedy. They don't want to be the butt of a joke. And not the butt of a joke. I think they're okay being called like the hot dog champs and called wieners and things like that. I think they're okay with that. But when who they are is a joke is what I think they don't like and what they didn't like to be, which is why I think that's okay. I think this match is going to slap. I think it's going to be fun. I think Best Friends has done such a good job of building themselves up as being a great team and being a credible team. I'm just realizing that all three of them could walk away with gold at the end of next week, Flobo. What are the odds of that happening?
Very slim, but go on.
Could you imagine? They would be draped in gold, we could call it.
Hey, you can't do that. What the?
That's giving blanketed. They're going to be blanketed in gold. I have a feeling they're all going home empty-handed. But I think it'll be a good match. Best Friends have proven they have good matches. And by the way, Chuck Taylor is a delight to follow on Twitter. He has some funny tweets, man. There was a little one he deleted. There's also one. It's Chuck. There's a Twitter's Chuck Taylor's deleted tweets. Wow. And there was one where he said something about being embarrassed about some wrestler in Kentucky, and Jim Cornette responded and saying, "That's like, I have someone who's from Kentucky who I think is the most embarrassing wrestler." And Chuck Taylor responded and goes, "Is it Ricochet?"
Oh, he is from Kentucky. Yeah.
And it was, I totally butchered the whole thing. If you read it on Twitter, it'd be a lot better, but it was just funny. It was a funny, like,
Ricochet's probably eating a bowl of cereal going like, "What the hell?"
And then he deleted the tweet, which makes it even more funny. But anyways, Chuck Taylor, a good follow on Twitter. We also, before we kind of get to the end of the show here, we had a quick match, Swole versus Serena Deeb. I thought Deeb is a great pickup for AEW, and I think really helps out that division. This was a hard-hitting match, wasn't it?
It was, and I think that it really showcases Swole as being more, because we saw where that she was Britt Baker, and she was more of like the comeuppance for Britt Baker, but now we're seeing the technical prowess of Ariel Monroe. But I wonder, I am a little bit afraid, Jack. Can I say I got the heebie-jeebies? That Serena Deeb could be the Satanic Garrett of that division. Like, when she comes out, you're kind of going, okay. You know what I mean? Like, what's her ceiling that has been signed?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. It'll be interesting. I think the next few weeks will mean a lot for her. I think she's going to need so many wrestlers need to do this. Once you're on TV, you got to give me a hook, you know, and something that our buddy Evan always used to say is everyone can wrestle. What else do you got?
Right.
And I think that's where now we're like, okay, Serena, you can wrestle. You look the part.
Right.
What do you got?
Right.
Because I think, she had, like, this was, like I said, this was a hard-hitting match. I feel like she did everything you'd want her to do. But, yeah, she's got to figure out something to make me emotionally invest into who she is. Because right now, I love Swole. Like, I'm all in on Swole. I love her look. I love her style. I love the way she wrestles. Also fun follow on Twitter. And I think she's at that. I think Swole right now is just in that padding the stats until you get a legitimate title shot mode right now. Because she's got to be the next in line, right? Swole's got to be that next contender.
I would think so. I think they're trying to make I would assume that she will have one more heel opponent, whatever that may be. But yeah, I think Swole's in the collision course for that big pay-per-view.
Maybe her and then maybe that's where the rematch with Britt Baker happens, huh? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. The only thing I know, Flobo, is that we're near the end of the show, and that means it is time for Elite of the Week. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is Elite of the Week, and this is the time where I count down the top five wrestlers on AEW tonight. I start at five, and I work my way down to one. This week, coming in at number five is Brian Cage. Could you imagine having to lift that kind of weight of Willie Hobbs and throw it around the way he did? You have to do a whole lot of curls and a whole lot of crunches, and he's done them. He's still doing them. He's probably still working out as we speak. At number four, we're going with Cody coming back in a dog collar match and winning the TNT title, putting it back around his waist, challenging another all-star right away, coming back with a big bang, whether his hair is blonde or black or whatever. At number three, it's MJF, because even when the show's not about him, the show is about him. And the fact that even on the biggest night of the 30 years of Jericho, he still found a way to creep in right at the end and make the most of it and be the star he is. That's why he's at number three. At number two, it's Chris Jericho. It was his day. It was 30 years of Chris Jericho. Of course he's going to be on the list. I'm putting him at number two. And at number one, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest wrestler of all time, Lance Storm, made an appearance on AEW. I can't believe it. Does this mean Lance Storm is All Elite? Probably not. But Lance Storm was on AEW Dynamite, the greatest wrestler of all time. He's number one, and you're lucky he wasn't one through five, because Lance Storm is from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
This list is a sham, and you know it. Sham! That's pretty cool to see him, though. It's pretty cool to see Lance Storm.
I knew I didn't know. I had a feeling he was gonna be on, but I was like, I know he's got connections to WWE. He'll probably be like, nah, I'm not gonna be on for, you know, business sakes and all that kind of stuff. When he came on, I told him, like, hey, Lance Storm. Me and about seven other people all were like, yeah. Hey.
He looks at the camera and Jack Farmer, stop following me on Twitter. Stop sliding my DMs.
Yeah, quit liking everything I post. It's getting weird.
It's getting weird.
I don't care. It's my show. I like Lance Storm. I'm putting him at number one. But some interesting people on there. And as Haywood teases in the chat, Tanahashi. Yeah, we also had a lot of New Japan stuff teased. And some people are thinking maybe there's a connection there brewing between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. I don't break news. I just copy when other people do, a real wrestling journalist.
That's how you do it, man. But rumors are swirling with the management over in New Japan having a bit of a reboot. That may be more of an open door policy between the two companies.
Do you think that'd be good, or do you think people would just be like, who are these people? I don't know. Like, truthfully, like if Okada came over, do you think, I mean, obviously there's a big fan base that would love him.
Yeah.
But do you think most people are like, well, who's this guy?
That's a very sound question. So the short term is it will have no effect on the bottom line for TNA, for TNT or AEW. It will be an influx of people. But what happens is you have that kind of like goat mentality. With New Japan coming to America, you have the hardcore fans doing what's cool and being cool hunters and buying the Bullet Club equivalent shirts, and those who get into wrestling going, hey, what's that design? Who is Ishii? Tell me more. And that's a long-term play. So that's why any relationship they do with New Japan, it can't be a one-off. It can't be a supercard. It has to be like a year or 6 months for it to have any kind of benefit or dividends.
That makes sense. I agree with that. Well, I'm going to keep my eye out for one of the wrestling journalists to talk about it so I can copy it and tweet it myself.
Copy and paste.
That's how you do journalism, folks.
Oh, yeah.
You also include a bad picture of whoever you're tweeting about. That's the way you do good wrestling journalism.
Smart pro tips, y'all. Write this down.
But speaking of wrestling journalism, Flobo, where can the world find you?
You can find me all over the interwebs over at Flobo Boys on Twitter and Instagram, at Flobito on Instagram, and FloBeetle.com. Jack and I will be back here tomorrow. We're not here, on the other side of the YouTube side, for Draper Goldie, unofficial NXT and NXT UK post show. Come on back for that. We're talking about what's happening on the other side, the Wednesday Night War, on Thursday.
On Thursday, yes. And my name's Jack Farmer, of course. You can find me at jackcfarmer.com as well as at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. As Flobo mentioned, I'm going to be on Draped in Gold next tomorrow.
Next day.
The next day. And it's going to be fun. So much stuff has gone on NXT. I am so excited to chat about it. I'm really excited to talk about that NXT UK Cup that's going on over there. The Heritage Cup. Lots of fun stuff. I can't wait to talk to you about that tomorrow, Flobo. Of course, you can check me out on Anytime Radio at theanytimeradioshow.com every Monday. New episodes. Let me know what songs you want to hear. I play them. I say shout out to whoever requested them. All that fun stuff. And I do Everything Tournament on Tuesdays with you and Evan Mack and Heidi Mack. It's like the gang's all back together. It's good times. Mm-hmm. But that's it. Oh, also, final thing. I'm doing a new thing. I'm trying it out. We're calling it Elite Peek of the Week, where I do a quick little sneak peek of next week's show. I put it up and I just quick 2 minute bite size. Check it out on Twitter show kind of thing. Check that out as well. That is it for us. We've rambled long enough. Until next time, folks, do your best and be yourself.